sometimes when we think of history, we think that it's happened, but we're still experiencing the effects of said history today. And I find it interesting that no matter where in history we are, young people are always the change makers. Like, we're always rustling feathers.
We don't remove the past if we're gonna learn from it and move on in the future. And my thing is, how did people have so much hope when they had so much to fear? Mm-hmm. And that went for the people that were helping the slaves and the slaves themselves. Mm-hmm. They had hope that something better was going to be there for everyone.
We are the guardians of girlhood, paired with multi-generational perspectives. And when we say that every girl has a story, what do we mean? Well, we're here for the girl searching for her people, the girl craving an outlet, the girl with an incarcerated parent or a broken home, the girl who hides in the bathroom at lunch, the girl who doesn't believe in herself, the girl with big dreams but no idea where to start. By opening up and sharing experiences, we not only empower ourselves, we inspire others. We express, we create, and we elevate. This is Love Girls, the podcast.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Love Girls, the podcast. I'm your co-host, Jasmine Babers-Gunn, and today we're continuing our Race Reimagined Girls Healing Illinois series, a special project from Her Voice Media rooted in one simple belief: storytelling is a form of healing. At Her Voice Media, we create spaces where young people can learn from the past, ask better questions about the present, and imagine a more just future. And in this episode, it's all about the power of history, the stories that live in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and in the people who've dedicated their lives to preserving them. Each episode in this series is led by our young fellows who step into the roles of interviewers and historians themselves, learning directly from local leaders and changemakers. Today, we're exploring how understanding our history helps us build something better moving forward. Today, we're honored to sit down with Angela Snook, a longtime educator, former director and curator of the Geneseo Historical Museum, and the heart behind the museum's Illinois Underground Railroad program. From teaching about the Underground Railroad to sharing stories of Illinois women, orphan trains, and Abraham Lincoln, Angela has spent thousands of hours researching and preserving the histories that shape who we are today. And we have some lovely humans with us. I'm going to pass it over to my favorite sister to introduce herself.
I should mention that I'm also her only sister, but, you know, we're just going to bypass that. My name is Kayla Babers, no gun. I am the director of visual creativity with Her Voice Media.
Hi, everybody. My name is Tamaya Rogers. I am 17. I am an early graduate. And, yeah.
What do you do with Her Voice Media, Tamaya?
Oh, I write stories. I do a little bit of photography. I post some content here and there, and yeah.
And she's a 2026 fellow.
Yeah.
How you forget that part? Oh gosh, girl. Okay, let's pass it to Carla.
Hello guys, my name is Carla. I am 19 years old. Wait, I lied, LOL. I'm 18 years old and I'm going to school for communications, and here at Her Voice Media, I am also a fellow of the fellowship program.
Whoop, whoop. And then our guest of honor, Ms. Angela, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Angie Snook. I'm not telling you my age. I am a retired curator director of the Geneseo Historical Museum and a researcher on the Underground Railroad, not only throughout Geneseo, but also throughout the Midwest and now with the state of Illinois and throughout the South. I give lots of programs. I go into schools and talk about what it was like to be a slave and how we can change things in our lives. So we even talk about bullying, and that has been really an open opportunity for children to realize maybe what it was like in servitude. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, and I'm a recent great-grandma, which I really, really enjoy.
Yes!
That's so exciting.
It is.
Hi, my name is Amaya Woods. I am a college student attending Augustana College, currently a junior, majoring in physics engineering. Also, here at Her Voice Media, I am the production and communication assistant.
We're really excited to have Ms. Angie with us today. For those of you who don't know, our 2025 fellows actually got to meet and hang out with Ms. Angie at the Geneseo Underground Railroad Museum. And they interviewed her about the work that she does with the Underground Railroad and the stories of some of the women and children who experienced what life was like through the Underground Railroad in the state of Illinois specifically. They did a whole documentary about it and entered it into a film festival, and they received special recognition last year. So they got to walk the red carpet and they got a trophy, and it was really because you were there to talk about and share your knowledge with them, and they took the stories that you told and told a bigger story, and that's how they were able to get special recognition with the documentary. So, one, we're really grateful that you took the time just to hang out with us and tell us what you know, and so we're happy to have you do that in this capacity as well, and we're really excited you're here on the podcast.
Well, I'm very proud of you girls for everything that you did, and that how seriously and respectful you were. The Underground Railroad is near and dear to my heart, and it has been for 30-some years. When I first started out, I wanted to hear everybody's stories, and I got so excited about them. And they would start to tell me their stories, and I would say, but, and I thought I had all the answers. Well, what I found out by the time I finished with my but, that I had missed part of their story. So I learned that you have to listen. And I just feel like it's so important to do the storytelling and pass it on. And apparently you did a wonderful job. So thank you, thank you.
So as we know that the Geneseo Museum is in Geneseo, what key part does Geneseo play within the story, and out of all places, why Geneseo, Illinois?
Well, it started out in Geneseo, Bergen, and Stone Church, New York, and it was in 1829, and there was a huge revival going on between the churches and slavery. And the churches at that time did not want to get involved in slavery. They didn't know what was happening, as I was just talking generations back. But the young people in that church felt everybody was created equal. Everybody should have equal rights. And so in the Stone Church, which is the name of a town, in that little church itself caught on fire. And they thought it was our young people with their new revivalist ideas that created the fire. So it was suggested that our people leave. They'd already sent out people to this area, which was in the West. Everything on the other side of the Mississippi River is Native American Indian territory. And so they chose that area because what rivers do we have right here? The Rock River, the Green River, and the Mississippi River. And if you follow the North Star, where can you go? Canada. So this is a prime spot for an abolitionist movement. So on September 19th, they boarded up their little families and six little wagons and founded Geneseo, Illinois, for their church, for their school, for their children, for betterment of education and their welfare, but most of all as abolitionists to free the slaves. And so they signed a covenant, and in that covenant said they would break all bondage to slavery. And if you signed that covenant, then you had to stay with it. If you did not, goodbye, you're gone. So everybody in that group stayed together for that cause. And so every home, every little barn or house or outbuilding had a place that they could help slaves on the Freedom Trail. So that's why Geneseo became Geneseo. And why it's named that? The one family was from Geneseo, and the night that they were having this big meeting at the church, they couldn't make it because there was a bad thunderstorm. And so when this group got the news that, okay, you're going to be out of here, we suggest you leave, the Geneseo people were the last to hear. So they said, okay, instead of calling it Stone Church or Bergen, we're just going to call it Geneseo for these people. So that's how we got Geneseo for the name.
Consider myself a history buff. But you are putting me to shame because I knew nothing about the connection to the Underground Railroad and our community. And sometimes when we think of history, we think that it's happened, but we're still experiencing the effects of said history today. So I just find it like, I don't know. I feel like we're in the moment, and I find it interesting that no matter where in history we are, young people are always the change makers. Like, we're always rustling feathers.
Well, one of the things that Albert Einstein said, the world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but those who watch them without doing anything.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I really feel our people believe strongly in that. We have to stand up whether we see our families again. They went against their church. They went against their people. They went against family members. Not knowing if they'll ever see them again, but they weren't afraid. They said, we're going to do this, and they did it. And I just remember as a little girl, my grandma walking me down the street and saying, you know, that house is part of the Underground Railroad. That house is part of the Underground Railroad. And I thought, what is she talking about?
Right.
And then as I got older and she started telling me the stories, I felt so enlightened that our people did that. They were so good,
so cool.
And they cared that much. And then I realized, you know, here I am with 4, 5, 6 generations and now 7 and almost 8, or now 8, that have strong beliefs. And it's the Congregational Church that was founded in Geneseo, and it was made up of Congregationalists and Presbyterians and one Methodist who believed in the same abolitionist theories. And the Methodist became the pastor. But I still belong to that church, and it was part of the UCC and open and affirming. And so we really picked the right church.
You did. And I think that's so timely, not to get political, but like with everything that's going on in the world, I feel like as somebody who attends church, that's what it should be rooted in, being better for our neighbors. And I think recently some of that has gotten lost. Well, I guess in history entirely, religion has been used in not so nice ways. So it's refreshing to hear the history of it done right and people using that connection to move us all forward. So,
and accepting all people.
All people. Yes, I love it.
Could you share some of the historical significance of the Underground Railroad Museum within the Geneseo community and when it opened its doors?
It didn't open its doors. We bought it in 1998. And when it was time, I was president of the Historical Association. Nobody wanted to look at it. They said, oh, it's just an old boarding house. Who wants it? But I knew it was part of the Underground Railroad. Mm-hmm. And I knew, I was a teacher at that time, that I was going to become the new curator and director. And I wanted to really focus on how important our community was, because nobody talked about it. Nobody, oh, well, so it's part of the Underground Railroad. Oh, that house was on. No, it's more than that. It was the people and the people that are still there that we need to acknowledge and move forward with it. And so it became just a treasure for our whole area, and doing school programs throughout the state of Illinois and some of Iowa. It just opened the doors to so many of the beliefs of so many people. And for the people who moved in that didn't know what it was like, that was very eye-opening for them as well. Mm-hmm. Because maybe that's why they were accepted in the community.
Right.
Because of it. So
I really like how you make the topic of race and slavery so approachable, especially to younger people who might not, you know, using bullying and something that they can relate to really understand the concept of what it, like the injustice of being othered by somebody else. As a white woman, and going into schools and running the Underground Railroad, do you ever hear or do you ever get asked about your personal experience with racism, and do people ever question why you do what you do, and how do you respond to those things?
I respond to that because I always tell people in my family, It looks like we have a family reunion. It's a United Nations picnic. Because we have all nationalities in our family,
yeah.
And my husband's family as well. Yeah. They always call them Heinz 57, like the ketchup, because they were just everything. And the biggest disappointment when we did our DNA, my husband always said he was Native American. He had Native American, and we did the DNA. He didn't.
Oh, no.
He had everything else, but he was so disappointed. So I think that helps a lot,
yeah.
Because I didn't have family that were prejudiced.
Yeah. Mm.
And my dad was in the medics, and one of his superior doctors when he was in World War II was a black man. And they would come to our house, and they even gave my sister and I their puppy because they were going to start traveling. So we had Penny, their puppy. And so we never had that negative outlook. You know, it was like, you can be anything.
Yeah.
Look at what this man was, you know, and that's what my parents always pointed out to us. So I think that helps a lot.
Yeah. And when it comes to, like, talking about race, like, I feel very comfortable talking to you because I can tell that you understand. And so I feel like, you know, my experiences will land in the right way with you. But I sometimes don't always feel that way with talking to different kinds of people. And so I'm wondering if you have advice to somebody who might not have had a ton of experience with racism themselves, or for people who have had experience and are feeling really guarded about talking about their experiences. Do you have any advice to how to get conversations going and how to make people feel comfortable? I know you just have such your personality does it for you and your kindness, but for people who may not always get the opportunity to talk about those kinds of issues.
And I have had situations like that where I have to say, we have to have a real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important because I've heard the negatives on both sides, And I think if we talk about it and we have a conversation about it, we may not always agree, and we might walk out the door and have differences. But I would say probably 7 out of 10 times, by the end, we both realize where we're coming from and why we have the feelings that we have. And I think it's more difficult with people my age group than it is for your age groups. Just people are more accepting than what they had been.
Yeah.
And I was a lucky one to not have to go through the negativity. And I will tell you, when I was a cheerleader in high school. Can you imagine that? And we went to Rock Island High School. Our basketball team was playing. And my sister, I'm a twin, when we, at halftime, everybody, all the cheerleaders went to have a snack in the cafeteria, but the black cheerleaders at Rock Island didn't get to go. We went to the home ec room, and I don't know where they went.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just heartbreaking because that isn't the way it should have been.
Yeah.
And we didn't understand why there was that difference, because there shouldn't have been. But then I went to college, and I realized it was there, too.
Yeah.
And it was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It was, I lived in a bubble for a long time, and then I had to see what it's really like.
In what ways is working at the Geneseo Historical Museum shape your personal perspective on past history and future events?
I will continue doing what I'm doing, and I have a granddaughter who is now getting her master's at Iowa in psychology and sociology, and right now she's doing an internship. I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, at Vera French, and we have a lot in common, and so just last night at dinner, we were sitting there talking about, you know, this. I said, now just remember, when Grandma dies, you have to tell at my funeral that how much I cared about everyone and every that we, and she's just in this field that I wished I could have been in, but there wasn't that opportunity at my age, you know, for a teacher or you're a nurse or a secretary. So, you know, I will continue until, and my last song is We Will Overcome Someday, and I really believe that. And so that is what's going to be at the end of my funeral, if you want to come.
Hopefully that's way down
the road. It's a long ways away.
I hope it's true.
Be a grandma thing. I just felt Julia in the room because she would say the same exact thing, and I'm like, why are we planning?
Because I want to make sure when I leave, I had all my ducks on the table.
She had her list too, and we made sure it was followed to the T.
Okay.
So I'm sure your granddaughter will do the same for you.
And I'm proud of that. I am very proud.
Are there any particular stories of an individual or tradition connected to the site that comes to mind?
Oh, I have lots. But there was a young girl. Her name was Hannah. She was brought to Geneseo. She was brought to Geneseo later, but she was purchased as a breeder. Mm-hmm. And so she was on a plantation, and her only job, she had 1 year to get pregnant and have a healthy child. And Hannah had a baby, and they continued to breed her for many more times. She had 6 children. The 7th child she lost. But she had such beautiful children that they decided to keep them on. And when they moved to Geneseo, they brought Hannah with her. And I never knew all of her story. Mm-hmm. So the family, the Bush family, had pictures, and when Amy Bush passed away, I found all this information in the floorboards of her house. And she said, my ancestries back east never had slaves, Angie. They didn't have slaves. Well, obviously they did have slaves. Mm-hmm. And so then I went through some attorneys, and I found out that they released her and freed her, and she was allowed to go see her children. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they were all freed. But because she was only 12 to 14 years old, because there were no birth certificates back then, it was just a guess, that she lived with them, and she became part of their family. So it wasn't as awful as it sounded. Mm-hmm. But I used to say she was raped, and then when I was giving a tour one day, this lady said to me, no, that's not rape. She was purchased. Mm-hmm. That was her job.
Wow.
And so Hannah's probably story is one of my ones that hits deep, because I can't imagine, I have a 13-year-old granddaughter, I can't imagine having anything like that happen and be taken away from your family and just for breeding purposes. Had she not breeded out a healthy child, she would have been put back in the slavery circuit and taken to a slave market and been resold. Mm. So That just breaks my heart. I mean, it just breaks my heart that women, young girls, were not thought of for anything more than what they could produce or what they could work, what they could do for other people. Mm-hmm. Wrong.
Likely Hannah was probably younger than everybody in this room, I guess, when she was sold to breed.
Yes.
And that just boggles my mind.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is one of the most important ideas you want visitors to take away about the museum?
I want them to realize that the people who came here put their lives out there to save lives of other people of another color. They mattered that much that they wanted to change other people's lives, and that people shouldn't own other people, and we all have the same opportunities and should have the same chances. And so that's my main thing. And sometimes, if you've been through, some of you have with me, I do cry, because it really gets into my soul how deeply I feel about this. And those people that came here had to be terrified. and had to be traumatized about they were moving someplace where there was nothing, and yet they were doing something for a great cause. And I just give them all the credit in the world for that.
I think that's beautiful. As somebody who reads into history a lot, sometimes the narrative is spun that people moved away from slavery just for financial purposes only. Like that was just, it was just a political movement and not a humanity. And it's refreshing to hear that people just did it out of being human. And I think sometimes there's so much bad in the world, there's so much bad in history that we forget to highlight the good. And even myself, it's very easy to be negative, especially about that topic. But I think finding the highlights, pulling out the positives, and understanding that at the end of the day, we are all connected, and there are probably more good people than bad people, is refreshing. And it's enlightening. Even at 32 years old, I'm still trying to remember that everybody's not bad. And everything in our history, although it's been kind of curated from, it started from trauma, that is not our story in its entirety. And I think that's beautiful. And I'm so happy that you are here today to very highlight that for us on a very personal community, down the street, neighborhood level. So I just want to say thank you for being here and being so transparent. I've learned a ton in the short time that we've been together.
Well, you can leave this out if you want, but I'm having a very difficult time having all the slavery exhibits taken out of some of the largest museums in the United States.
I saw that.
And some of our state parks now are having to remove. It's our history, and we've come forward. We have a ways to go. We will always have a ways to go with something, just like what's happening in Minneapolis or whatever. But we don't remove the past if we're going to learn from it and move on in the future. And my thing is, how did people have so much hope when they had so much to fear? But and that went for the people that were helping the slaves and the slaves themselves. They had hope that something better was going to be there for everyone.
So timely, because look, I'm tired right now.
It's true. One last question that we like to ask all of our Healing Illinois Race Reimagine guest is, when you think about the conversation of race and you think about racism, and this is a loaded question, so I apologize in advance, but if you had to reimagine, you know, what race and racism looks like best case scenario, pie in the sky, what does that look like for you?
I wished we didn't have blinders on. I wish that we all could take those off and look at everyone the same. As we're sitting here having fun this afternoon, that's the way it should be. And when we go to my family reunions, that's the way it should be. And I know that's a pie in the sky, and I'm fortunate, and our family's fortunate, but that's just the way it should be. And as having taught for 22 years, I always felt the same way with that. I wanted everybody to look at each other as equals, and we may all be different, and we may all like different things, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with any of us. All of us want the same things in life. We want love, we want happiness, good educations, good jobs, a family, a nice house, a cool car. We all want those things. So I wish, you know, like I say, I hope we overcome.
Hopefully we are not as far off as sometimes it feels like. But I do think that it does start with, like, conversations and storytelling.
Exactly.
And that is the path to healing. So, Miss Angie, we appreciate you so much.
Thank you
for being here.
Anytime. I'll come back.
Do you guys want to go around and share something that stood out to you about the conversation, or even a question that might have gone unanswered?
Yeah, one thing that really did stood out to me was Hannah's story, especially as, like, young girls. Not only was it just our race, it's also our, is it sexual, no.
Gender.
Gender. And I just think it's so insane, too, especially since she was, how old, 13?
12 to 14. Oh. She's just a
very young girl.
Just a baby.
Yeah, and especially, it's just, like, I don't know. They're just, ugh, it tires me. There really needs to be change. But yeah, it's...
And I think what really stood out to me was what you were saying about how it impacted your life. And, like, when people didn't want to take that building because they didn't know what it was, you did. You were like, this is a part of the Underground Railroad. Like, this is so cool. This is amazing. It's historic. And it was something that you knew about that a lot of people don't know about. Like, it'll go over their heads because they think it's so far back in the past. You see things that other people who are not put in that situation might not see.
That's true. What
stood out to me was when you had said they're taking Black history out of museums, because I never knew that. And
it's pretty, I mean, it's been happening, but yes, it's been very recent. So,
oh, okay.
Very recent, yeah.
I just feel like that's crazy, because I feel like people need to understand the history so they can do better and, you know, just like change, make change.
As a millennial, sometimes I just feel like no matter what I do, I can't move the ball forward. And I think this conversation has reinvigorated me because we've been tired. I'll just put it that way. And it's given me kind of the push to know that just me as a person, as a Black woman, my story telling other stories like Miss Angie does is pushing us forward. So no matter how small or quiet or short, our every single voice, and it sounds corny, but every single voice amplifies on top of each other to make a difference. So yeah, I don't know, I feel recharged. Okay, thank you all for being here. This is another episode of Love Girls, the podcast, Race Reimagined, Healing Illinois. Did I get that right? I got it. All right. Okay. We want to thank our special guest, Miss Angie, for coming here today, weathering the cold and just sharing her wealth of knowledge. I'm sure she'll be back. Miss Angie, if people want more information on the museum, Geneseo history, where can they go to find that?
There's a website. Just awesome. Go to www.geneseohistoricalmuseum.com and go from there. And if they want to talk to me privately, then Melanie can pass it on to me as well.
Awesome. So as you are listeners, you have a wealth of information right at your fingertips. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.